Welcome to the Unveiled Christ to the World broadcast with Reverend Judith Ann Glass. For over 40 years, the prophetic ministry of Brother and Sister Glass have gone around the world bringing the living Word of God to multiply thousands of people. Get ready to receive a fresh message of faith and hope that will bring you into new dimensions of the love of God. You can be that overcomer God has called you to be as you behold Him, the Unveiled Christ, in all of His matchless glory. Listen now to the whole Word for the whole man to the whole world, ministered in the power and anointing of God's Holy Spirit.
You don't have any problem that a miracle from God can't solve. Greetings, beloved. This is Sister Judith, and I thank you for joining me today as we continue on in a general theme of Thanksgiving, which we've been focusing on this week. And today, as a what a natural consequence of, especially from yesterday's broadcast, I'd like to talk about genuine worship. And I'd like to read a text found in Luke, the 4th chapter, verse 16. And he came to Nazareth, this is Jesus, where he had been brought up, and as his custom was, he went into the synagogue on the Sabbath day and stood up for to read. Now, some folks might be surprised that if they really followed Jesus, one of the places to which he would lead them repeatedly would be a place of worship. That's what the text says. As his custom was, he went into the synagogue on the Sabbath day. And by this, we can assume that during all the years before our Lord began his public ministry, he was very consistent in habits of both public as well as private worship. So while this is a huge, tremendous subject, we can only be very brief as we touch on a few important things. And let's begin by asking, what is worship? Well, Jesus insisted that worship was something infinitely more than being physically present in a church or a place dedicated to God. If you recall the conversation that Jesus had with the Samaritan woman in the 4th chapter of the Gospel of John, verses 21 through 24. Let me read that. Jesus saith unto her, Woman, believe me, the hour cometh when ye shall neither in this mountain nor yet at Jerusalem worship the Father. Ye know not what. We know what we worship, for salvation is of the Jews. But the hour cometh, and now is, when the true worshippers shall worship the Father in spirit and in truth. God is, for the Father seeketh such to worship him. God is a spirit, and they that worship him must worship him in spirit and in truth. One can be physically present in a church and engage in ritual forms and types of worship without having a true experience with God. In Luke, the 18th chapter, verses 10 to 14, Jesus is speaking about two men who went into the temple to pray. One was a Pharisee, the other a publican. The Pharisee stood and prayed thus with himself, God, I thank thee that I'm not as other men are, extortioners, unjust, adulterers, or even as this publican. I fast twice a week, I give tithes of all that I possess. And the publican, standing afar off, would not lift up so much as his eyes unto heaven, but smote upon his breast, saying, God, be merciful to me, a sinner. I tell you, these are the words of Jesus, now this man went down to his house justified rather than the other. For everyone that exalteth himself shall be abased, and he that humbleth himself shall be exalted. So what can we say about worship? It's a genuine attitude of and a truthful attitude of the heart, as well as an activity. It's an attitude of reverent awe felt in the presence of a holy God. Genuine worship is also the adoration and appreciation of God as one thinks about and contemplates and experiences his love, his mercy, and grace. It's also an experience of precious communion in which the soul is in dialogue, if you will, with the eternal God. And it's also an experience in which the worshiper gives himself to God and at the same time receives all that God has for him. So, what are the benefits of worship? Well, A believer who sincerely follows Jesus in worship will discover an increasing harmony between his will and the will of God. Harmony is what produces peace of mind and heart. When there's discord between our will and the will of God, have you ever experienced that? A tempest will rage continuously in the soul. And beloved, the will of God is the one that wins out. Also, what's another benefit? A believer who sincerely follows Jesus in worship will be blessed with a sense of security. How important that is today. God becomes more real through repeated experiences of worship. Fear will be dispelled and a calm serenity will possess the soul. An attitude of faith and optimism also will be more likely in the midst of difficulties in the present situation and in the uncertainties of the future. A believer who sincerely follows Jesus in worship will be delivered from the tyranny of this world, of the material world, the things of this world. Through worship, he will become convinced that the main purpose for living is certainly not to accumulate material goods, but treasure in heaven. He'll discover that the only real security that anyone has is the security that comes to him through faith in the goodness of God. A believer who sincerely follows Jesus in worship will discover solutions to his problems. You never may have thought of that. But it's interesting to note that our Savior resorted to prayer as he faced the problem of the selection of his apostles. I won't take the time to read, but that's found in Luke 6, 12 and 13. And when men misunderstood the spiritual nature of God's kingdom, Jesus found it necessary to go apart for worship experience and prayer, Matthew 14, 23. And of course, as he faced the terrible prospect of setting his face toward Jerusalem and the burden of the cross, we read that he went up into a mountain to pray, Luke 9, 28. And of course, he prayed in Gethsemane as he faced the prospect of the cross on that next day. Jesus tells us, "And there appeared an angel unto him from heaven, strengthening him." That's Luke 22, 43. Apart from following Jesus in genuine worship, there's no solution to be found for the problems that are going to trouble us. And so how can we be helped in worship? Well, obviously the synagogue services aided Jesus in worship, so the worship services of your church can greatly aid you in your efforts to have a continuing and ongoing experience with a living God. Also, the study of scriptures can greatly aid you in your efforts to worship as you study them reverently and responsibly, trusting the Holy Spirit to reveal to you the truth that your heart stands in need of every day of your life. We all face different circumstances and situations as they arise, and the Holy Spirit's faithful to give us words out of the Word. One reference is John 14, 26 and John 16, 13. Let me share that scripture. "Howbeit when he, the Spirit of truth, is come, he will guide you into all truth." Don't we need that? "For he shall not speak of himself, but whatsoever he shall hear, that shall he speak. And he will show you things to come." Praise God for the precious Holy Spirit. That's what he does. We have to realize that Jesus, he was very God, but he was human. And so he was a diligent student of the scriptures. And he stored away the great truths of God in his mind and heart that were found in scripture. These verses of scripture aided him immeasurably. And obviously, as he ministered his quotations of the scripture during his temptation experiences, remember when he was in the wilderness after his 40-day fast, and also while he suffered on the cross, that those are examples or cases in point. And also, regardless of your musical preferences, listening to or singing the great hymns of the church can aid your worship. Some of the hymns that have been given to us over the centuries, they are practically sermons in themselves, and they're beautiful, containing many deep spiritual truths. It is said concerning our Lord that following the Passover feast and the institution of the Lord's Supper, it said when they sung, had sung and him, they went out into the Mount of Olives. That's Matthew 26:30. And from this, we can assume that the singing of hymns was a vital part of the worship experience of our Lord and his disciples. And then we see that private worship had very definitely a prominent place in the habits of Jesus. Several passages tell of Jesus' private prayer time. For example, "And in the morning, rising up a great while before day, he went out and departed into a solitary place," that was by himself, "and there prayed," Mark 1:35. "And he withdrew himself into the wilderness and prayed," that's Luke 5:16. And also another example, "And it came to pass in those days that he went out into a mountain to pray and continued all night in prayer to God." That's Luke 6:12. So, beloved, the best preparation for your experience in effective public worship is the private worship times that you have with the Lord. So how can we just make a conclusion or summarize all that I've shared? Before we can work effectively and be used of God in his vineyard, we have to wait before him, just as Jesus did in worship. The responsibility of our work should compel us to worship, as it did for Jesus. And our worship, if it's genuine and real and sincere from our hearts, will motivate us and enable us to work and serve the Lord more effectively and joyously. Praise God. Well, I hope those few thoughts will help you to continue. And if you haven't made it a part of your regular life, I invite you to do that by the Word of God. I thank you for joining me this week, and I pray that you will be blessed as we go on into our futures, knowing that we have a faithful and a merciful God who hears and answers prayer. And on that note, if you need the support of agreeing prayer, because that's a spiritual principle and dynamic God has given us, the power of agreement, I invite you to write and share your prayer needs. The announcer will give you our contact information. If you email, I will confirm and certainly pray. But if you'd like a personal answer ministry, I invite you to share your mailing address. I love you and pray for you every day. Thank you for joining me. And until next week, this is Sister Glass saying, may God's best forever be yours. This is my prayer.
You're listening to the Unveiled Christ to the World broadcast. Thank you for joining us. You're invited to write Sister Glass at P.O. Box 577, Caldwell, Idaho. 83606 is the zip code. That's Post Office Box 577, Caldwell, Idaho. 83606 is the zip code. You're also invited to visit our website, unveiledchrist.org. You can learn more about Unveiled Christ there, as well as email Sister Glass. Again, that's unveiledchrist.org. And please remember as you write that your prayers for this ministry are greatly valued, and your tax-deductible gifts of support enable us to keep this radio program on the air. Thank you for joining us today. Until next time, God bless.